The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. You can join us online any old time, wethepeopleradio.us. We would love to have you listen to our archives. We actually archive the programs with no commercials, too, so that's kind of handy. Every program has a full page of information, so you don't have to take our word for it. You can, you know, read it and do your own research. And some of it's just, you know, kind of entertaining while we talk politics. Today will be entertaining while we talk politics because Trevor Loudon's always entertaining. Always entertaining. Let's see. I've got some good information on him that I was going to tell folks about. So let's see here. Mr. Loudon, after making some frightening discoveries while researching radical elements in American politics, New Zealander Trevor Loudon left his country to warn Americans that unless these people are exposed, the world will descend into an age of darkness. I think we're there, actually. However, Loudon believes it's not too late to wake up the citizens of the greatest country ever known. He's from Christchurch, New Zealand, but he's currently in Ohio?
Iowa.
Oh, Iowa.
No, Iowa.
Iowa. And it's got a lot of corn comes from Iowa, but they have a lot of snow, too. How you doing, Trevor?
Great. How are you?
Oh, good afternoon. We're actually good. We haven't talked to you in a while. I linked your interview with us back from March of 2014. I cannot believe it's been that long.
Wow. No, we have to do it more often. I think, I'm going to be in the States over the next year, so look, happy to come on whenever.
Oh, yeah, because I'm thinking, good grief, since March of 2014 there has been... I was going to say, give us an update on what you've done, but yeah, forget that. We only have an hour.
Yeah.
So what are you working on now?
Well, the main project right now is this.
The main project is reconnecting with our guest. Stand by.
So much for the main project. Yeah, this is one of those days. We just can't get a break.
Do you have his number? Or?
I do have his number. There you go.
God knows he's got our number.
That's pretty funny. So let's see. Let me tell you some more stuff. He was the one who discovered the relationship between the Hawaiian Communist Party member Frank Marshall Davis and young Barack Obama back in 2007. Of course, no one listened to him, and we elected the guy anyway twice. Then I've got some bullet points here, so I'm going to share those with you. After extensively researching Obama's ties to the New York and Chicago Marxist movements, Loudon began publishing his findings online, catching the eye of such prominent voices as Accuracy in Media and syndicated radio host Glenn Beck. In 2009, he exposed the communist roots of Obama, Obama's green job czar, Van Jones. Remember him? God, that's a blast in the past. And after an extensive campaign, Jones was forced to resign. Thank goodness he's probably out there still doing bad stuff. I'm just not sure what.
Trevor's back!
Okay, so
hi.
We've been in suspense here. No, it's all right. Things happen. Today especially. Okay, so fire away. What have you been working on?
Well, basically I'm working on a movie of my last book, The Enemies Within, Communist, Socialist, and Progressives in the U.S. Congress. I've just come back from Washington, D.C., filming some of the final interviews for the movie. It's going to be released early next year as a full-length Hollywood-quality documentary in the theaters, on DVD, etc. We want to blanket the country with it. It's going to expose the heavy Marxist and Muslim Brotherhood influence and infiltration of the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the Obama administration. So it's really going to show how these people have infiltrated your system so heavily that they can dictate policy, everything from Obamacare and immigration amnesty to refugee resettlement to the gutting of your military to the Iran deal. All of this is driven by extremist elements inside your government trying to bring you down. We think this movie will shock America like no other movie has ever shocked this country.
God, I hope so, because, I mean, we have Bernie Sanders. I mean, who would have thought in this? I remember, six, seven years ago, I had told my mom her congressman was a member of the Democratic Socialist Party. And I said, Ma, you know, the guy you vote for every year is a socialist. And my mom's like, well, that's silly, honey. There are no socialists in Congress. And now we have Bernie Sanders running for president, and he's actually drawing huge crowds.
Who was your mother's Congress member?
George Miller.
Oh, George Miller. Yes, a total Marxist.
I should say George Miller.
Complete and utter Marxist.
Yeah, he was.
You know, so yeah, but like we say there are. See, what has happened is this. It's very simple. If you apply for a federal government job in this country, even the post office, you have to get an FBI security clearance. But if you run for Congress or the Senate, where you may serve on the Armed Services Committee, the Homeland Security Committee, the Intelligence Committee, the Ways and Means Committee, the Judiciary Committee, you get nothing. You're basically in the clear. So the radical groups in this country have really taken over the labor union since 1995. And by taking over the labor unions, they have been able to take over the Democratic Party in many parts of the country, which has enabled them to infiltrate their sympathizers, their secret members, their allies into your Congress and Senate. And now you have a situation where they're actually running for the presidency. Obama was an example. Hillary Clinton's an example. And Bernie Sanders is not a democratic socialist. He is a hardcore totalitarian Marxist. As hardcore as you can get.
Well, and he is
sucking the American publican.
Yeah, the part that cracks me up is, even in the Democratic debate, which I watched 1.5 times because it was kind of entertaining, actually, and frightening at the same time, it was amazing to me that he's not hiding any of it.
No, well, he is, in a way, in that, you know, he says he's a socialist. Yeah, that's fine. He says he wants America to be more like Norway and Denmark and Sweden. But that is a lie. That is a bald-faced lie. He is a long-time affiliate of Democratic Socialists of America, attends their conventions all the time. They run his campaign. They run Labor for Bernie. They run People for Bernie. They've even named him as a member of their organization. And he is involved with them, and they believe in, amongst many other things, the total elimination of private control of the means of production, distribution, and exchange. They want the complete government control of all business in the United States. Not some business, not big business, all business. And Bernie Sanders is their boy. He's promoting their agenda. He goes to their conferences. They funded his Senate race in 2006. They've worked with him right back since the early 80s. And he is effectively their man. You know, this is the guy who honeymooned in the Soviet Union. He
literally
went to Cuba several times. Yes, exactly, he did. He honeymooned in the Soviet Union in 1988.
Wow.
Who does that? He traveled to Cuba at least 3 times. He's praised Fidel Castro and his healthcare system. He traveled to Nicaragua in 1985, I believe it was, to celebrate the 6th anniversary of the communist Sandinista takeover of that country. You know, in 1989, he was at an event organized by the Communist Party USA for the 10th anniversary of their front, the U.S. Peace Council, alongside representatives of the Marxist Grenadian New Deal movement and the Palestine Liberation Organization, a terrorist organization. As late as last year, he was in Chicago campaigning for a Communist Party supporter named Chuy Garcia for the Chicago mayoralty. You know, Garcia just lost. But Sanders was there alongside Scott Marshall of the Communist Party USA on the podium endorsing Garcia. You know, Bernie has been with the radical left his entire career. They hide that from the public. He hides his affiliation from the public. But his agenda is pure totalitarian Marxism.
Well, it's kind of a good strategy to come out and tell everyone you're a socialist and then, like in the debate, you know, make jokes about it. And, you know, he doesn't hide any of it, so I think that causes people to stop digging.
Well, he does hide his totalitarianism.
Right.
But people know he's a socialist, so he comes out, makes a joke of that.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and it's a good strategy. Absolutely, it's a good strategy. If you want to con somebody, if you want to fool somebody.
Yeah, hide right in the open.
You know, you tell them, well, I'm a bit of a bad guy, but I'm not a real bad guy. You know, I'm out there. You know, I tell you what I am. You can trust me. You cannot trust him one inch. He is lying through his teeth.
What do you think?
The totalitarian has always been a totalitarian.
Well, what do you think I don't even know how to ask this question, but what do you see from the outside looking in? Why are people falling for this? And who's going for it? It seems like young people.
Well, Americans, you know, there's several things going on here. Americans live in the freest, most open and generous and prosperous country on the face of the earth. You know, and it makes some good-hearted people, trusting people, you know. They're not like Europeans who have lived under tyranny or Asians or Cuban refugees. They do not understand tyranny and what it is and how it works and how it approaches things. So they're sort of like innocent babes in the woods in a lot of ways, you know. The socialists are using America's best qualities against them. The other thing is that the socialists have so wrecked, and I've got to lump the Republicans under George Bush amongst this as well, have so wrecked the economy, so indebted the economy, and so indulged in so much crony capitalism and corruption, that the American public is just anti-establishment, completely anti-establishment. And that's as they should be. But Bernie Sanders capitalizes on that. You know, I'm anti the big Wall Street banks. I'm anti this. I'm anti that. And people love it. And so they should love it. What he doesn't tell them is that his totalitarianism would be even worse. It would be far worse than what we're suffering now. It's not to excuse what's happening now. Not in the least. We have to get rid of that stuff. But supporting Bernie Sanders is jumping out of the frying pan right into the furnace. He would make things infinitely worse than they are now.
Yes, he would. And
so would Hillary Clinton. She's as bad as he is, but she's just a little even more dishonest than he is. She hides it more effectively.
It's interesting, though. I think part of the debate that I really enjoyed was watching the facial expressions, because while Bernie was ranting and raving, you could see the look on Hillary's face, and it was just like, oh, my God, would somebody please shut this guy up? You could just see and she was trying to smile and look pleasant, and it's like, oh, but not really.
Yeah, see, the thing with Bernie is, see, I read the Marxist press all the time, the Communist Party newspaper, etc. They are getting ready to support Hillary. Democratic Socialist America is supporting Bernie. The Communist Party has been supporting Bernie, but they know he cannot win.
Thank God.
Now that Hillary is really almost certainly going to be the Democrat nominee, they are positioning themselves to back Hillary. So Bernie's going to be shunted aside eventually down the track. And they're going to try and draw Bernie's support behind Hillary and unite the entire left behind Hillary, from the radicals right through to the mainstream left. So that is the plan. That's what's underfoot. So Bernie is a bit of a distraction, you know, and he makes Hillary seem so moderate.
Yeah, he makes her kind of seem normal until you actually listen to her. Well, do you think that'll be a heads up for people that, you know, when that radical bunch all jumps behind her, do you think people will go, I think it's time to look at somebody else? Or do you think they'll just...
No, I think it's their best strategy. I think, you know, she will unite the left. You know, they look, Democrats, the Democratic base is very herd-like.
Yeah.
You know, it's far more fractured on the Republican side of things, and they will fall in behind Hillary when the time comes.
Brutal.
And you're right that the general public may hold their nose and be worried about that, but unless the Republicans have a really articulate defender for their side, Hillary will run away with it.
Exactly.
She could well do that. You know, so that's why you've got to have someone articulate and powerful like a Ted Cruz, for instance, you know, on the Republican ticket. You know, you can't have a rhino like Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump has to clean up his, be more disciplined in his speech and his,
just slightly,
his sound bites if he has a chance of getting there.
Well, it was interesting in the news thing in the top of the hour. They said they killed the white rhino at the San Diego Zoo or somewhere anyway.
Yeah, so, San Diego Zoo.
So we were laughing. Yeah. We're like, well, somebody better put a call into John McCain or Lindsey Graham, see if they're okay. anyway, that makes me not want to drink poison during the break after everything you just said.
Yeah.
So we need to take a quick break, thank our advertisers and that kind of jazz. And we would welcome some sponsors and advertisers, by the way. If you want more information on that, find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Give a damn's bullshit. I'm impressed, my attorney Bernie. I'm impressed with his influential friends. He's got very big connections, and I follow his directions. Bernie knows his way around, and so I always do what Bernie recommends.
Who is this?
I am blessed with my attorney Bernie.
Oh, Bob, you're killing us.
Dave Frischberg.
The way he runs the store. He's got Dodger season boxes and an office full of boxes. It's amazing all the different things your average guy might need a lawyer for. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign. We sign.
Oh my gosh, hope that's wrong.
My attorney Bernie.
My attorney Bernie. So if you need a song for one of your speaking engagements, Trevor, there you go. Oh my gosh. So we're you're rejoining We the People Radio with Trevor Loudon, who we haven't spoken with in quite a while. Not for any other reason other than I wasn't paying attention, and Trevor got busy. How's that?
Very busy.
Very busy. So.
But always time for you guys.
Have you circumnavigated the globe like multiple times since we saw you last?
Look, I've been to New Zealand, back to New Zealand a couple of times, but I'm here for a while now, right up till the elections, probably. So I intend to be here for. I'll be available for quite often, but yeah, no, I've been crisscrossing the states. I think I've been to about 43 of the 57 states now, and you know.
Are people since you see such a giant swath of our country, do you think people are getting smarter or sticking their head in the sand, or what direction do you see it going?
Oh, look, it's definitely a hugely anti-establishment mood, you know, and you see that. You see that with the rise of mm-hmm. Ted Cruz and Donald Trump and Ben Carson. You see that with the rise of Bernie Sanders. You know, there's a real mood in this country to just throw them all out. You know, just get rid of the rhino leadership of the Republican Party, get rid of the unions and the Democrats, and restore the country to some form of sanity. So, yeah, there is, you know. I'm going to Tea Party and Republican meetings and other meetings around the country, and the crowds are good and the people are interested. You know, so I think the level of interest in this election will be greater than any presidential election in living memory. Because this is going to decide the fate of America this next election,
yeah,
and the Western world, to be blunt.
So, So going kind of backwards a little bit, so for people that are listening going, so why does this guy from New Zealand care so much about what's going on here? I mean, I kind of know the answer, but what do you tell people when they ask you that?
Well, if you look at the world today, you know, as America gets weaker militarily and economically, why do you think Russia is now on the march in the Ukraine? Why do you think China is threatening Japan and the Philippines and Australia? Why do you think Iran is threatening the Middle East? Why do you think ISIS is committing unimaginable atrocities? Because America is weak. America is seen as weak and ineffective and actually complicit in a lot of the bad stuff that's going on. The bad guys are on the march. Europe is in turmoil. Latin America is mainly controlled by Marxists. Most of Asia is dominated by China. Africa is just about all controlled by China and communist-controlled South Africa. You know, you have a world where tyranny is on the march and freedom is on the decline. You know, if this continues, if America continues down this path, there will be nowhere left to run. China will have us. China will have Australia. Europe will be dominated by Russia and destroyed by radical Islamic extremists. Latin America, as I said, is already controlled by Marxists and the Chinese. Same with Africa. You know, where do you go? You know, so really, Western civilization is hanging in the balance. And I say if America goes under, every Western country will fall.
Yep.
Freedom will be gone across the globe. So, you know, just like your boys went to Europe to sort out the Nazis in World War II, you know, that was the front line for freedom. That is where you had to go. Well, right now, the front line for freedom is America. And if, as I say, if America goes down, we're all done. If America can recover itself, gut the federal government, and restore the Constitution, you will spark freedom revolutions across the globe. So everything comes down into what happens here over the next year.
Well, just in case people weren't positive that this was as dire as it looks, I guess that kind of puts a nail in the coffin.
It's very dire, but it's also extremely, you know, there's extremely great opportunities here. You know, the people are waking up, and just like, you know, that idiot Jimmy Carter gave you Ronald Reagan, you know, people under Carter were saying that America would never be great again. And you had the Iranian hostage crisis and the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, and, you know, the world was in a pretty sad state in the late 70s. But America woke up, they elected Ronald Reagan, and he turned things around. Well, America is in the same situation today, only worse. America's way worse than it was under Carter. The world is worse than it was under Carter. But the American people are waking up in numbers like we've never seen before, way more than under Reagan. So if we can get a good conservative president in there, and he guts the federal government and rebuilds the military and goes after the radical Islamists and puts Putin in his place, you can see a massive turnaround very quickly. You could see the most positive future on the horizon for your kids and grandchildren that you've ever seen. It's just, we have to win the next election with conservatives, with patriots. We have to get more patriots into the Senate and the House, and this country and the world can be turned around pretty darn quickly.
Yeah, because somebody in the chat room here said, you know, it's pretty bad and we have to take our lead from France. And it's pretty bad when we have to take our lead from France.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's a little bit scary. Americans tell about France and their surrender mentality, and now France is taking ISIS, where America is basically enabling ISIS, enabling, you know, the disaster that's unfolding in the Middle East, and America wants to, you know, bring in hundreds of thousands of refugees into this country, knowing full well they're going to swamp your voter base and commit acts of terrorism all across this country. We know that. Everybody knows that. America still wants to do it.
And so Obama, well, it's interesting because, I mean, there are people, you know, literally calling the congressional offices, sobbing and crying that, oh my God, we have to take the refugees in. They're suffering. They're children. I mean, there are a lot of people who actually believe that.
Well, that is the Marxist narrative, you know. See, what this is not a refugee thing. This is an invasion.
Exactly.
You know, Bobby Jindal had a great line, you know, immigration without assimilation is invasion. And this is a deliberately engineered invasion of Europe, and if it is allowed to go ahead, of the United States, you will have enclaves even greater than you have now of Islamic extremists all over your country, and every one of these people will be given citizenship and voting rights and turned into Democrats. You know, and that's the plan. The plan is to swamp you electorally, balkanize your country, start chaos and wars all over your country, and basically destroy the American Republic. You know, people talk about, oh, look, it's the Christian thing to do to admit refugees into your country. The Christian thing to do is protect the safety of your own children, your own family, your own community. Ben Carson had a great analogy. We know that a significant number of these refugees will be terrorists. We absolutely know that. Ben Carson had a great line the other day. He said, it's like you have a jar full of M&Ms. You get 100,000 M&Ms in this jar. 1,000 of them are poisoned. The rest are fine. Are you going to put your hand in there and scoop some up and eat them?
So that's the exact opposite of Martin O'Malley's thing in the debate, where he said that it's like a stadium of 30,000 people and putting 6 people in there. He says it's just not going to make any difference. It's so few. And
it's going to make a, well, how many people?
Yeah, 6 people with bombs on.
How many hijackers killed 3,000 people in 9/11?
Exactly.
How many terrorists just killed 130 people in Paris? You know, Martin O'Malley going to have these people in his backyard? Is he going to have them babysitting his children? You know, this is just absolutely criminal and irresponsible.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at it, you know, it shows it so obviously that Obama wants to admit Muslim refugees, but he refuses to admit Christian refugees. The Christians are the ones being persecuted in the Middle East. The Christians are the ones whose churches are being burned to the ground. They are not terrorists. They are not suicide bombers. They are not Al-Qaeda. They are not, you know, they're not ISIS, and he won't let them in. They are suffering more than the Muslim refugees. All of the Muslim countries are refusing to admit these refugees because they fear terrorism. They fear Muslim terrorism in the Muslim countries. What are these people going to be like here?
Yeah.
You know, this is just absolutely insane.
I do believe the...
It's not insane. It's not insane because it's a deliberate program to wreck this country. And this is the thesis of the movie, that these people are not idiots. They are deliberately anti-America. They want to bring this country down, and admitting hundreds of thousands of Muslim refugees into this country is just part of their plan. It's part of their overall strategy.
What's the movie called, Trevor?
The Enemies Within.
Okay, same as the book.
Yeah, same as the book. Look, and I'm just going to say, I'll do a pitch, because I always do a pitch. You know, our budget is about $250,000 for the movie. We've raised about $170,000 of it, and we're trying to get the last... It's going to come out in early next year, no matter what, but we're doing an Indiegogo crowd funder at the moment to raise another 15 or 20 grand, you know, towards the final cost of production. So if anybody wants to help and get this movie in theaters before as early as possible, please go to Indiegogo, I-N-D-I-E-G-O-G-O, Indiegogo. Go to that website, type in, look for the page, Exposing the Enemies Within. Go there, chip in $10, $20, $50, whatever. Just help get this movie out there, because this is going to shock Americans. We aim to get this all over the country. massive distribution, and anything you can do to help, you know, the listeners can do to help, is much appreciated.
Okay, and I found it, so I will put that on the page for today.
That's great.
Oh, it also has like a little YouTube, I'm assuming it's a little clip from the movie. It's a picture of you.
Yeah, there's a little pitch for the movie there. And if you go to my website, trevorlowden.com, you can also donate to the movie there. But that you can find, if you go to theenemieswithin.com, you can find a little trailer of the movie, etc.
Okay, I will post that. We need to take a really quick break. We'll be back and let's chat a little bit more about the movie. I'm kind of curious, when you started looking at Obama at the very beginning, has it turned out the way you thought it would, or is it worse or better or what? So we come back, let's chat about that a little bit. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back. Highly unlikely, actually. Can you imagine? We're waiting on San Francisco to save us. Wow, that should truly strike fear into your heart. Okay, so Trevor, you looked at Obama long before he was elected and thought he was a scary, dangerous guy. So did he turn out to be scarier?
Well,
or about how you figured?
I was focused on his Marxism. You know, I looked at. I was the guy who discovered his connection to the Hawaiian communist Frank Marshall Davis. I exposed his Maoist green jobs, Van Jones, who Glenn Beck got kicked out of the White House. So I knew what he would do. I knew that he would have, push immigration amnesty to basically swamp the Republican vote to make the Democrats a one-party state. I knew he would gut your military. I knew he would push Obamacare, and he's still going to try and get single payer before he goes. I knew he would, change your foreign policy. What I didn't see was the depth of his kowtowing to radical Islam. I didn't see the Arab Spring in his hand in that. I didn't see how he would work to topple Gaddafi and Mubarak in Egypt and really push the Islamic issue through the Middle East. I was focused more on the Marxist side of his character.
So can we blame you for all that?
I thought he'd be a bit more like Hillary. I didn't think he would go quite as far and as fast and as quickly as he did. And I think that was a big tactical mistake, because doing what he did woke up the Tea Party.
Yeah,
the Tea Party took the House off him in 2010 and slowed his agenda. Had he been a bit slower and not woken up the Tea Party, he might have actually got a lot more done. And we have to thank the Tea Party profusely for basically saving this country, because had they not taken back the House in 2010 and the Senate in 2014, he would have got Obamacare straight to single payer he would have had 11 or 12 or 20 million illegals voting in 2012 and 2014. He would have flooded the country with refugees by now. America would be done without the Tea Party. So I didn't anticipate a lot of the Islamic side of his agenda, and I didn't think he'd be quite as far as arrogant as he has proved to have been, and it's just steamrolling things through to the degree that he has. So, yeah, it did surprise me. He has turned out even slightly worse than I imagined he would be, and that was pretty bad, I have to tell you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Part of me thought, you know, the look from all of us who got started in the Tea Party back in 2009 was that we won't survive this guy for 4 years. And we figured by the end of 4 years, nobody's going to reelect him. And then when he was reelected, I mean, I think it took everybody, the unthinkable. And I'm not sure people actually believe we'll weather this through next year.
Well, look, it's critical, and he's doubling down, you know. And I have to say, it's not just Obama. It's the entire Democratic Party leadership has been captured. This is a Marxist government we're talking here. This is a Marxist revolution unfolding in this country, just like Czechoslovakia in 1948 or Venezuela under Hugo Chavez. They are that bad. We got one chance to stop them, and that's the election in 2016. Because if we don't, they're going to flood the country with refugees and illegal immigrants and turn them all into good little Democrats, and there will never be another Republican president. They will just flood the country with so many people, the Republicans will be toast. So it is dire. You know, he's going to do everything he can by executive order. He's going to do everything he can to destroy the opposition. But the big thing in our favor is, there's a lot more of us than there are of them, and we have some champions out there now like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and Ben Carson, who actually have a chance of taking the presidency and actually have the desire to restore this country. We have never had a better field in the Republicans ever, ever.
Well, we've never had this many choices.
Very grateful for. Sorry?
We've never had this many choices, and some people are frustrated
and
by the number.
Choice.
But
they're
it's
good choices, you know.
Yeah.
The three good candidates who could all win. You know, I'm a Cruz fan. I back Cruz. I think he's the best. But I'll tell you what, Ben Carson and Donald Trump would both do great things for this country.
I think Bernie would do great things for the country, actually.
Yeah, well, exactly.
My expectations
and the reason
are low.
I don't include Marco Rubio in that, though he's good on some issues, because he supports amnesty, and amnesty would destroy America, he cannot be the Republican standard bearer. He absolutely cannot be. He and Jeb Bush would both destroy this country through amnesty. No matter what good things they might do in other fields, they would wreck the country through amnesty. So they cannot be the candidate.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I look at the people who might cross over, people like my mom who voted for Obama because she just didn't get it. I wonder if those people will cross over for someone like Trump.
Yeah, I think a lot of them would cross over for Trump. But this is why I tell you I prefer Cruz. And this is, you know, any of those three I'll be happy with. But this is what I think has to happen. There's two demographics you have to win to get the presidency by enough margin to counter the vote fraud and all the scams the Democrats will employ. You have to get the young people, and you have to get the evangelical Christians. Now, there are 90 million people in America who call themselves evangelical Christians. Only 20 million of them vote. Ted Cruz has said very accurately that the next election will be decided by the evangelicals. Now, you look at it. You got Cruz, you got Carson, you got Trump. Who can rally the evangelicals out of those three?
Yeah.
You think Donald Trump can do that?
I really don't think so.
No, because they don't, you know, they don't want to vote for a casino owner who's had three marriages.
Yeah, and, you know, and he's just he keeps offending everybody.
That's the kind of thing they look at.
Yeah.
I'm just being objective here. I'm just trying to think. If they wouldn't vote for a clean-living Mormon like Mitt Romney, you think they're going to vote for a wheeler-dealer casino owner? And you have to have them. You have to have them. Carson can get them, and Cruz can get them. Carson is very popular amongst evangelicals, but he doesn't have quite the infrastructure or the money, or the infrastructure, and he has got the money that, that Cruz has. Cruz has had his father, Rafael Cruz, amongst the evangelical communities for 2 years now. He's built a huge base in that area. He's been hammering Iowa, all the Midwestern states, and he has got that sector on his side, and he can get them out to vote. Now, the other people you've got to get is the young people. Now, out of the two, you know, Trump can get young people, and Cruz can get young people, but can Ben Carson get the young people? You know,
yeah,
maybe, but not in the numbers that Trump or Cruz could do. So to me, Cruz is the favorite. Cruz can do it because he can get both the young and the evangelicals, and you have to have them to win.
Yeah, you do.
Somebody's got a better counter argument to me than that. I'm very willing to listen to it. But looking from the outsider's view of your political situation, I think it's a, you got three great candidates, but one of them stands out. One of them can actually win the people you need to win to get this election underhand.
Yeah, it's, and I can still hear, you know, we have a really hardcore, I guess a Tea Party element or just a far right element that doesn't feel like anybody's going to be good enough, and nothing is going to make a difference.
Why are they active?
You
think about it this way. The Tea Party has saved this country, and the Tea Party won by winning 2010 and 2014. You basically made the work for the Democrats so much harder. They couldn't get their agenda through. They had to go for executive orders, which made them unpopular. You think if it hadn't been the Tea Party, you wouldn't have a Donald Trump. You wouldn't have a Ted Cruz. You wouldn't have a Louis Gohmert or a Trey Gowdy. You wouldn't have a Jim Bridenstine or a Tom or a Cotton. You wouldn't have those people in there. And I liken this to Reagan. Some of those people who have that attitude, they wouldn't have voted for Reagan either.
True.
Because, you know, Reagan, he had his flaws, and he did amnesty, and he did some things that I didn't approve of. But nobody can deny that Reagan did a huge amount of good for this country. You know, you imagine had Jimmy Carter or Walter Mondale been the president instead of Reagan.
Yeah.
Where would this country be today?
Well, it'd be where it was when Jimmy Carter had a hold of it last time, which was a disaster. Have you noticed,
Jimmy? You imagine if there'd never been a Reagan revolution in this country, you imagine what a state this country would be in today.
Oh, yeah. We would have been talking about this 10 years ago.
Exactly. You'd have been done.
We would have been toast.
The Western world would have been done. Reagan gave us time. Well, Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or Ben Carson can do the same again. Trump, you know, Ted Cruz is going to abolish five departments straight off. Commerce, IRS,
Commerce.
The energy.
He was going to abolish them twice.
Sorry?
He was going to abolish them twice, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Commerce twice.
Commerce twice.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Commerce.
Yeah.
Hey,
exactly. Double down and abolish it twice.
Speaking of commerce, we've got to take one more quick break. We have to take a quick commerce break here. we'll be right back, though, and finish up the top of the hour. you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back with Trevor Loudon.
Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee. Turn up all around me. Bases
It's like, where are we going with this? Oh, cruising together. I get it.
New campaign song.
New campaign song. Is there a kinder...
Put a subtle campaign, subliminal campaign messaging there.
Exactly. A kinder, gentler cruise. Hey, so in our last few minutes, I just wanted to let you know we've updated the page. It's got all the info about the film. Give us...
Talk. Indiegogo. Exposing the enemies within.
And so
Ted Cruz always mentions TedCruz.org at least three times in the interview.
More subtle.
That's just a successful formula. So I get the Indiegogo exposing the enemies within three times. So
nice. Well, okay, so what prompted you to do a film rather than a book, besides the fact that a lot of people will watch what they won't read?
Well, that's exactly it. You know, I can sell thousands of books by going around and speaking to various groups, and that's great, you know, and I'm proud to do it. It's a very good thing to do. But a movie, a DVD, can reach millions.
Yep.
And we want to reach millions of people in this election cycle. In 2016, when Dinesh D'Souza did 2016, which is exposing Obama in a moderate way. It didn't go nearly far enough. But they did exit polling and of people coming out of the theaters, and something like 30% of the Democrats who went to see that movie decided not to vote for Obama on the strength of it.
Really?
You know, yeah. So these are far more powerful than a campaign, you know, and $500,000 30-second campaign ad. A movie like this can impact the whole culture. Have you seen the movie Agenda Grinding America Down?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Curtis Bowers has just brought out the second version. He distributed over 250,000 copies of that. He estimates 10 million Americans saw it. Now, you know, that's substantial. That is significant. I think that movie, Agenda Grinding America Down, it played a significant role in both the 2010 and 2012 and 2014 election. I think they helped the Tea Party resurgence immeasurably. So a movie can do so much. Now we want people to come out of our movie absolutely shocked at the depth of the penetration of their government by bad actors, by basically traitors. We would think they'll be absolutely shocked, but we want them to come out pumping the air and going, wow, we can take this back. We can beat these guys. There's a lot more of us than there are of them, and we're going to tell people how we can do it. You know, so there's going to be a frightening movie, but it's also, we want to make it an inspiring movie that's showing Americans how they can get rid of these scumbags and take the country back.
And this is exposing Muslim Brotherhood and...
Yes, the main emphasis will be on the Marxist infiltration of your Congress and Senate.
Okay.
But there'll be substantial amounts also on the Muslim Brotherhood, because they work together. The Muslim Brotherhood was trained by the Soviet KGB. That's where they learned their infiltration techniques from. So we want to show... And you got people in both camps, like you know, Keith Ellison from Minnesota, for instance, heavily involved. This is the guy who appoints Democrats to committee positions in the Congress. Very powerful man. This is a man who has heavy ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, but also holds meetings in the home of the leader of the Minnesota Communist Party. He's got his foot in both camps. Andre Carson, who serves on the Intelligence Committee, the rep from Indiana, who oversees 16 of America's intelligence agencies, is very close to Democratic Socialists of America, a Marxist group, and is extremely close to several fronts of the Muslim Brotherhood. They funded him. The Muslim Brotherhood front funded Keith Ellison's trip to Mecca.
Lovely.
So these are people who are in your Congress, who owe their allegiance to the Muslim Brotherhood, the Communist Party USA, Democratic Socialists of America, and they are on your Intelligence Committee, your Armed Services Committee, your Homeland Security Committee. And what do you think they're doing to your country every chance they get?
Burying it. Well, we got to go, Trevor. We're out of time. But we've got to do another, we need to do just one show on a tell-all, just a list, listing who's who.
Yes.
All right.
Well, look, I'm happy to do it. So, look,
thank
anytime,
you so much.
Just call me and I'll come on.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
This has been We the People Radio with Trevor Loudon, author of The Enemies Within. Please go to our webpage, wethepeopleradio.us, for all the info. America. Good Lord's on our side.